Book of Exodus, we shall begin reading in the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. Amen. The second chapter of Exodus, beginning at verse 1, the Bible reads, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and he took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of the Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Mm-hmm. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that they may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject on today: the things a mother has to do.
Amen.
The things a mother has to do. We thank God for Sister Sharon being in the household this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Last Sunday morning, she was laying in the hospital, but God is a healer and he is a keeper. We got so much to be thankful for. Many others have gone back and forth to the doctor this weekend. Some good news and some bad news, but as long as you were able to hear the news, everything's still going to be all right. Because we serve a God that we have faith in him, trust in him, and believe that he can make the impossible become possible. And that's what I love about God, is that when you just don't know what to do, God can work it out for you, and he can make things work out in your favor. I am so excited about the Spirit of Christ and about the people of God, especially those that God has put in my midst, because even though we may be strange, even though we have a lot of differences in our lives, God has blessed us to be one family. And because of our family, we are able to put aside our petty and differences. And when we need to come together, we come together. And I thank God for that, because there are some people that are so stiff-necked and so stubborn that they don't care what comes or goes, they're just not going to be in. But if we're going to have the love of a mighty God, we got to know that it's not all about us. It's not about our family. It's about the body of Christ. So when we learn how to love one another as God has loved us, when we learn how to just trust God with our all in all, because he is our reason of being. Without him, we would not even be able to move. And it's by his grace and by his mercy that he's allowed us to be in this place on a special day. This is a very special day because it is one of our great holidays of the year. It is one of those days that we just glorify God and we are thankful to God for his goodness. And I believe that other than Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of Christ, and Easter, when we celebrate the resurrection of his death and life, I think that Mother's Day is the next greatest holiday. Because of the mere fact that without our mothers, we would not be here. Every one of us in here, if you are a person, you came through and by your mother's womb. And we are thankful to the Lord our God that he allowed you to be born. That there are so many that didn't even get born. And all of them wasn't caught into an abortion situation. Some of them, the ladies was trying to have the babies, but they just couldn't make it. So if you were able to make it on this side of the ground, you ought to be thanking God for the life that he has given you. There come times that we just don't understand sometimes the things that a mother has to go through. But I believe that every mother, after she'd gone through the 9 months of carrying that child, she would find that after she had the child, there's a lot of things that a mother has to do. Hallelujah. It might have been a lot easier when you were going through the fact of carrying the child opposed to after the child got on the outside. Because once the child get on the outside and become a real person, well, it's already a real person on the inside, but you don't have to deal with it like you have to deal with it on the outside. You got to get your legs in order. You got to keep your eyes in order. You got to have your mind in order. And you got to pray to God for patience. Those nights when that baby get to crying and you want to sleep, you got to know that there's things that got to be done. Somebody got to get up. And there's somebody that don't have good help. So you got to do some things all by yourself. Today we thank God and we ask God to bless and honor every mother that is in our midst as well as all the mothers of the universe. And we say to you this morning that we love you. We thank God for your sacrifices that you made to help us to get where we are today. If it had not been for a loving mother, and I thank God for the time that we came along, we had parents that really believed in not sparing the rod. So we knew what it was to get in trouble, but we knew that if you get in trouble, that means that you're going to get it. And it wasn't any way around it. Sometimes they might have let you slide just for that moment because they were doing something else. But you will find that when you thought that you were comfortable in the bed and you're just getting ready to go to sleep, all of a sudden the cover is snatched up off of you. All of a sudden, mama, what's wrong with you? You done forgot what you done. But a mother never forget it. She say, I'm going to get you. She's going to get you. And most of the time, it's because we have did something that she has told us not to do. Most of us, all of us, in fact, at some point of our life, we have been hard-headed, we've been stubborn, we've been out of the will of God, and we've not did the things that our parents told us to do. Then there were some of us that were good children that we didn't get in a lot of trouble, but there was no perfect child in this world. I don't care how much you love him, how cute he or she is, there is something wrong with all of our children. If you be honest with yourself, if they get out of your sight and you were able to watch them and they didn't know that you were watching them, you would see a whole lot about your child that you might be surprised about. There's a time when you say, somebody said that my child, your child said this and your child did that, and you say, not my child, you don't know that to be a fact. Because a lot of times these children will say what they got on their mind when they're not in your presence. And then if you got a mouthy child at home, then you know that child is mouthy anywhere else that he or she goes. So don't you get bit all out of shape when the school calls you and tell you that your child up there fussing and cussing. They might not cuss in the house, but if they got a lot of mouth in the house, they know not to cuss in the house, but they will cuss out there in the street. So don't get it twisted. Don't fool yourself into thinking that your little angel is always going to be a little angel. You can dress them up like a dog, baby, but they can come out just like something else. The Bible declares that we ought to train a child in the way that he or she should go, and they won't depart from it, but we got to do the training. You got to take time out to do that training. You got to have patience in doing that training. You got to know that everything that you thought you knew, you don't know until you are faced with certain situations. In rearing children, you will find that you are always having a learning experience. And one thing that is a problem in our world today is we don't listen enough to what our young people are saying. Because a lot of them are crying out that they need a little more attention. A lot of them are crying out that I just need to be loved. I need for somebody to hug me and to let me know that I'm going to be all right. Some of them need a little push and a little encouragement to know that you can do it. It might be hard, but you just got to work a little harder. You got to concentrate and you got to shut everybody else out. The things that a mother has to do. There are people that all over the world would go the extra mile today to show their mother, I love you. Amen. Today, for whatever reason, you would shower them with gifts and you would let them know that they are very special to you. But how many of you know that if you are in a position where your money is tight and you didn't really have any money to buy a gift, How many of you know that you got a mother that if you would just take the time out to verbally open up your mouth and tell your mother, Mama, I love you and I thank you for everything that you've done for me, and just hug her around her neck and squeeze her real good, that would mean much more to her than anything that you can buy out of any store. And I'm not talking to sort of cover up anybody that just don't do because they won't do. Because there's somebody that cannot do because you really can't afford to do. But if it's in your heart to do, don't feel bad because you don't have a gift in a box. You got the gift of love. You got the gift of sacrifice. You got the gift of just letting your mama know, I appreciate what you've done for me. I even thank you for those times when you beat my behind and let me know that I couldn't get away with something. I appreciate you making me come in when it got dark because that kept me from getting in a whole lot of trouble out there. I appreciate the fact that when grown folk was talking, you told me to go sit down somewhere and get out of grown folks' business. Because there's something children don't need to hear or know until they're old enough to understand what's going on. Because when you allow them to be in the midst of your conversation and they hear everything that you say and the way that you deal with what you say, they're going to go out there and do some of the same thing. You fussing and cussing at home, that's why your child fussing and cussing at school. Because that's what they know. Modern technology. And the fact that the television don't go off at 11 and 12 o'clock at night. When I was a little boy, you didn't have to worry about them watching TV all night because it didn't stay on all night. God done brought us a mighty long way, but I wonder sometimes, was it for our good? Because now we got so much to do, we don't have time for God. That's where the problem comes in, that when our parents was training us to be Christian people, we realized that what the first most important thing was to give God some of your time. You see, what we do now in today's society, we wait till we get in a hole. We wait till we are down flat on our back, or we wait till things are just so messed up. Then we want to cry out, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. But there ought to be a time that you ought to just be trying to get closer to God. Even when you don't have the answer, just try to get closer to him anyway. And know that the Lord God will do just what you need him to do. There's something about the love of a mother that means so much to all of us. God's blessings be upon that woman that is called a mother. Now, Webster gives the definition that a mother is the female parent of a household. In the Hebrew family, the mother occupied a higher position than that enjoyed by women in many other nations because in her society, she was held in high regard. She was blessed because it was a blessing in that society to be able to bear children. You were one that seemed like an outcast if you were not able to bear a child. So in that day and time, those women of God, those women wanted to be able to bear a child because they felt like if they were able to be a mother, that they had divine favor from the power of a loving God. But we find that in today's society, we have no regard for Planned Parenthood. We just do what we do. And it seems like out of all the many things that we are aware of today, there's birth control on every block, and yet we still have baby after baby. So that lets us know that somebody just like having babies. Somebody can't keep on saying, I made a mistake. You can make a mistake one time, but the second time should not be a mistake. And there's not many of you that go through life that shouldn't know exactly what's going to happen anyway. A and B going to get C. So you got to learn how to take care of yourself or learn how to just say no. Amen. Say no mean no, and don't put yourself in a compromising situation to where you get caught up in the flesh. Amen. Because one thing about it, it don't take much to make it, but it take a whole lot to take care of it. Amen. All these little boys running around here with all these babies and they can't take care of themselves, can't take care of the baby, and they walking around with their chest out, their little bitty chest, thinking that they all that. No job, nobody to do nothing, waiting on their mama to buy pampers for their baby. Then they get with the boys and talk about, I got one over here and I got one over there. Well, what you doing for any of them? Somebody ought to grab you and set you down somewhere and take you to old school beating. Anybody know what old school beating is? Mama didn't believe in beating clothes. She want to beat you. We got to understand this morning that whenever you decide, or whether you decide or not, once you get in the position where you are going to have a baby, you got to learn how to look at the big picture. It's not a baby doll. It's not a play toy. It's not something that you can have for a little while, and when you get tired of it, it's going to go away. One thing you got to understand, the big picture of having a child, is that child is going to always be there, a part of your life. Whether they're there, a part of your life, or they can be all the way across the country, that's still your child. Whether it's a good child or a bad child, that's still your child. And sometimes you got to learn how to hold your head up if your child get into a whole lot of mess and you know that you tried to teach them the right way. Don't you go through the rest of your life beating yourself to death out what your child does. Everybody got to work out their own soul salvation, and everybody get a chance to get a second chance. So let's not hold them down, but let's let them know that you made a mistake, but everything's going to be all right, because we serve a forgiving God. And if God can forgive us, he can forgive our loved ones. There's so much that is charged to the fact of being a mother. But we got to understand that one night can change your whole life. Yes. Immediately you go from I and me to we.
All right. Yes. Go ahead, Reverend. Go ahead, please.
See, what you got to understand is that when you become a mother, that's going to be your responsibility. Yes. There are a lot of single mothers in this house and in the world that knows that a lot of times, once you get to that point, your significant other has gone other ways. So now that's you and your child. And most loving mothers, they have something built in, a mechanism built in them to where a loving, strong mother will say, if you don't want to do nothing, don't do nothing. But my child gonna have everything that he or she needs to have. The things that a mother has to do is sometimes that mother has to work two jobs in order to make sure that that child gets the things that he or she needs. The things that a mother has to do is sometimes look over the fact that somebody told them that they love them and then they walked out on them. The things that a mother has to do is realize that there are times when you can't depend on somebody else to take care of your child. How many times have they told you that now that you have it, if you done had it, you're going to take it with you? And then don't get mad at them younger grandmothers because they don't want to babysit. How many of you know that you have a mother that's young enough that'll tell you, that's your baby, that's not my baby. I took care of you, you take care of yours. Now, there are conditions sometimes, and loving grandparents don't mind because they want to shower their child with all the love that they got. But they don't want you to think that that's their responsibility to raise that child. That's your responsibility. And if you didn't have it with somebody that's going to help you, then nobody can do about that now. The child is already here. But what I love about the society in which we live, and what I love about the people of God and the love of Christ, is that he has put love in some women of God that have never been able to bear a child. But they got so much love to give that they have embraced other people's children. And they've taken those children in and they've loved them just like they were their own. And unless somebody told them any different, they never knew a difference. So it's a good thing that an individual don't have to actually bear a child to be a good mother. All you have to do is have the love of Christ in your heart and be willing to help a child along the way. Sometimes we find that you are not able to, maybe you're too young, or maybe you got a lot of trouble in your life. And I think that back in the day, sometimes they had so many babies that sometimes one couldn't take care of all of them babies. So somebody that didn't have a whole lot of babies would just in the family would take one or two of the ones that had a whole lot of babies, and they would help them raise their children. And so when you got into your uncle or aunt's household, and even though you knew that there was your uncle or your aunt, they treated you and they raised you. So all of a sudden, over the years, they were just like your mother or your father. And it wasn't any disrespect to your natural mother, because the thing that mothers have to do is that when you know you, if you can't do what you need to do, then it's all right for you to find somebody, or that somebody step in and say, I'll do it. But society want to make you think that you're a bad mother because you allow somebody else to raise your child. If you had sense enough to know that I'm still wild and crazy and I don't have time to take care of this child, but I got somebody that's going to take care of my child, you let that somebody take care of that child. Keep your mouth shut out of other folks' business. If you're not the one that's having to rear the child, why are you worried about what the Jones is doing in the house? There are a lot of people right now, if it had not been for the love of the family, a lot of us wouldn't be where we are. Because we have had to realize that mothers and brothers and family just had to help one another. And if we would be more like that now, the world in which we live would be a better place. There are so many things that a mother has to do. As we look at our text this morning, we find a Hebrew mother that has put her baby in a basket and put him in a river. And the reason why she put him in the river was to save his life. Because in that time, the Pharaoh that was king, he had made a decree and warned all the midwives that all the boy babies needed to be killed and all the girls could still live because of the fear of the numbers. And they felt like all the boys would grow up and be warriors and they would be able to overtake them. So now, when we look here in the word of God that was read earlier, it says that he said, and he went to the office of the midwife and to the Hebrew women, and he said unto them, I want you to kill the sons and yet let the daughters live. All right. But the Bible said the midwives, they feared God and did not as the king commanded them, but he said they saved the men's children alive. Well, the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men's children alive? The midwives said unto the Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. You know, there's some women that love their children so much, they're going to do whatever they got to do to make sure that their children have what they need to have. If you ever want to get on a woman's bad side, mess with her children. If you ever want to see how strong a woman can be, mess with her children. Because there are times where she might be one of those that's real quiet and you don't hear very much out of her. But if you mess with her child, you will see another side come out of her. And all of a sudden you are wondering, is this the same woman that I saw a few minutes ago? Because that woman will scratch your eyes out. That woman will cut your throat open. That woman will do anything, any type of thing that she know to do to make you realize you don't put your hand on my child. Now, there's a difference between disciplining a child and abusing a child. There are some of us that realize that we don't know how to whoop children. Some folks ought not never put their hand on a child. And then there are some of us that don't have sense enough to beat them when they need to be beat. I look back and I told the choir as we finished the responsive reading. You see how we got into the responsive reading this morning? All right. Because all of that made sense. All of that hit home with where we come from, because we realized that it was all right to get beat. It was all right. How many of you ever got a whooping by mama or dad and had whips on your legs and on your arms? And you began to look at them whips, and sometimes you even have a little blood come up in the whips, and you began to wonder, you done about killed me. My reply from my mother would be, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to kill you. But isn't it amazing how they can come out with all of these things and you really believe that they're going to do just what they said they're going to do, but they wouldn't hurt you. They love you. You got to believe that that's the one that when you couldn't take care of yourself, they took care of you. That's the one that changed your nasty diapers. That's the one when you had a fever at night, that laid a cold rag on your head and did the things to make sure that you were all right. That's the one that sacrificed sleep in the middle of the night to make sure that you weren't breathing right. So they want to watch you and make sure that everything's going to be all right through the night. Do I have any real mothers in the house? that realize that I'm going to watch over my child. I'm going to do what needs to be done for my child. And ain't nothing going to come and harm my child if I have anything to do with it. There are those of you that if you are a real mother, even though you might know that your child may be out of the will of God and might be a mess, you don't want nobody talking about your children. The things that a mother has to do. Now, in the second chapter of Exodus, there was a Hebrew from the tribe of Levi. And this woman conceived and bare a son. She saw him, he was a goodly child, and the Bible says she hid him for 3 months. In other words, the Bible declares that she looked at her boy baby. He was a handsome little fellow. She was just overjoyed at what God had given her. But she was aware of the fact that the king had put a decree out that all of the boy babies were going to have to die. But this mother realized that I got to do something. So in order for my baby to live, I'm going to have to make a way for my baby to escape death. So the Bible declared that the woman took a little basket and she put some things together and she put some slime and some pitch together and she made sure that the basket wouldn't leak so the baby would not drown. All right. Wrapped the baby up and put the baby in there. But the Bible says in the 4th verse that his sister stood afar off and she was looking to see what's going to happen to my brother. Well, as the story goes on, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and she was the daughter of the king. And as she saw this basket floating by the flag, the Bible says she told her maiden, "Go get me that basket." And when she opened up the basket, the baby began to weep. And because the baby began to weep, and the baby was a handsome little baby, she had compassion. Yes, sir. In other words, the love of God began to spring in her heart. But then now, in verse 7, it says, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?'" So in other words, God has a way of putting things in the right place at the right time. Amen. And having the right people in place so that things will work out for his good. If you know anything about the story and the history of Moses, Moses was going to be the leader to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. But in order for Moses to be the man that he was going to be that leader, he had to make it through his childhood days. And in order to make it through the childhood days, his mother had to do what she had to do. And the thing that she had to do was figure out a way, how can I save my child? So she put this child in the basket. The maiden found it. The king's daughter, as she looked upon it, and then the sister had said unto him, "I want you to go and get me a Hebrew woman and let her come and nurse this child." Well, Pharaoh's daughter told her to go and do that. But then look at God. The same woman that realized that in order for my child to live, I got to let him go. But look how God turned it around. God turned it around in her favor, for when the sister went to go get the woman to come and nurse the baby, she went and got the baby's mother. And Pharaoh said, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me." So we're serving a God that loved this woman so much that he gave her a mindset to put the child in the river. Then it turned around for her good. She got an opportunity not only to still raise her child, but she got paid for it. Look at God. So now, what I come to tell you this morning is that there are things that a mother has to do. And sometimes people may not understand you. But if they don't understand you, don't worry about it. For the Bible says in verse 10, the child grew, and she brought him and Pharaoh's daughter and became her son, and she called his name Moses. So now, when you ever hear of the story of Moses, realize that in order for Moses to do all the things that Moses did, Moses had a loving mother. And because of that loving mother, she sacrificed. And she made a way out of no way. She did the things that a mother had to do in order to make sure that her child survived. Moses survived and he became one of the greatest men of his time. He was a great leader and he did great things for the Lord our God. So what I'm saying to you, the mothers of this day, the mothers that are under the sound of my voice, do what you have to do to be the best mother that you can be. This is your day. It is a day of celebration. It is a day to share the love of Jesus. It is a day to let your mom know that I appreciate the good days as well as the bad days. I thank you, God, that you gave me a loving mother that was there, right there by my side. And if you have that mother in your life this morning, don't take it for granted. Love your mother while you have a chance. Do all that you can for her while you have a chance. And never, ever disrespect or dishonor Amen. That woman that is your mother. Amen. For the Bible declares that if you would honor your mother and your father, then your days would be long upon this earth. So now, if you don't want your days cut short, give honor, give glory, give respect Amen. To your mother. Your mother is the greatest gift that you will ever receive in life. And I'm a witness that once she's gone, she's gone. But I'm also a witness that you will never, ever forget her. There are times that you can just steal away in your mind and just have that little time with your mother. There are times when there are good times. And there are times when it sort of brings sadness and grief. There are times that I find that even just the other day, which I knew that that was a good sign that today was not going to be an easy day for me. And I began to have a strange, strong mother moment. All right. But I refused to allow it to grab hold. And I just pushed it away, and I pushed it away because at that particular time, there was company in the house, and I didn't want to walk back through the house all upset, and they didn't know what was going on with me. But many of you that are where I am, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We all have our moments, but they're precious moments. I believe that the songwriter that penned the song Precious Memories realized just how much one would miss the love of a mother. Mothers that are here today, may God's blessings forever be upon you. Amen.